Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach, Tazayin Kislev, Tovshin Membeis. This very Shabbos, in the year that would equal 1981, the Maimer is based on one of the opening verses of this week's Torah portion, where Yaakov Avinu, our father Jacob, sends a message to his brother Esau, who is a pretty horrible guy. In fact, he finds out that he is coming to kill him. And the message is, Im Lavan Garti, I have sojourned with Lavan, Va'echar Ad Ota, I have tarried up until this point. Upidish Rashi, Rashi tells us that there is more to this message than I have tarried, than I have sojourned. In fact, the word Garti is totally unusual. To the best of my knowledge, it doesn't say it in the Torah anywhere before this point. I don't know how many times it says it afterwards. So there must be some kind of subliminal message that's being sent. Why would he say, Im Lavan Garti? Say, Im Lavan Hayiti. With Lavan I was. Im Lavan Yashavti, Hisakavti. There are so many words in Hebrew that would adequately describe being stuck somewhere for an extended period of time. And instead, Yaakov uses the word Garti. So Rashi says that of all different meanings, of all different interpretations that we have in Teirush Baal Peh, the one that's most apt in Pshuta Shel Mikra, the most straightforward understanding of this is, I lived with Lavan, but Garti scrambled spelling Taryag, which is the way we write out the number 613, Taryag Mitzvahs Shamarti. I lived with Lavan, but I kept all the mitzvahs. I watched, I was mindful of all the mitzvahs. V'yedua diyuk bezeh. So there's a famous question or analysis that gets asked oftentimes when we study the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Haloi medubar bepashtos v'ydes esiv kipshutei. We speak here on Pshuta Shel Mikra. This is not a midrashic interpretation. Rashi says this is the literal meaning, the straightforward meaning, that he's telling Lavan, I kept mitzvahs. Who are you talking to? I mean, you're talking to on a literal level to Esau. Esau. Esau is a Russia. Esau kifisher ba im arba meis ish. The Esau who's coming, not with good intentions, but he's rotten inside, and you never know what he's really thinking. No, the Esau who comes with baleful intent, that's very open, very pronounced. 400 armed men. There's no secrets. You don't have much guesswork. It's Esau in his worst form. Esau, the would-be murderer, is on the way. Lihilochem neged Yaakov, to engage in battle. His goal? Take no prisoners. Destroy. Kill. Eradicate the Jewish people. Eradicate Yaakov's seed. It's kind of understood that when you talk about mitzvahs, that was not exactly the first thing on Lavan's agenda. So, oh, Lavan, how's your mitzvahs doing? Mitzvahs? You get the wrong guy. Like, I'm into murder, not mitzvahs. So what's he sending messages to him? I want you to know, Shomar HaTaryag Mitzvahs. The Tzemach Tzedek explains in Eira Teira, which are the collections of the Tzemach Tzedek, my mother, on the Parshas. And the Rebbe adds in the parentheses, as it seems, this Maimer actually is a Maimer that was delivered by his Zeder, by the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the movement. But it has hagos v'ha'ores mekved kedushas admor tzemach tzedek. It has glosses. It has a number of emendations, various flavorings, so to speak, that was added by the tzemach tzedek. But really, it's Alter Rebbe's Maimer. And the pidush apnimi, that what's the esoteric or mystical message here? The esoteric mystical message of this is really im lavan garti hushegor im bechinas levena elyein. That Yaakov Avinu was sending a message to Lavan that I lived with the supernal whiteness. What does supernal whiteness mean? So I'm going to attempt to explain it on a very basic level, admitting that it's only a basic level. When you want to describe a canvas that's waiting to be filled in, what do you describe? A white canvas, a blank canvas. I know today they have a green screen, but that's for another reason. But the equivalent of a green screen really is a white canvas. Or the color that has no color, the colorless color. That's white. That's purity. White can be anything. White can go with anything. That's why I wear white shirts. It goes with anything. You don't have to match anything. So white is a color of purity, and white is a color of transcendence. And white is a color that indicates being able to get past all the details. You can add any details in, it's higher than. It's preeminent. It comes before details. So when we talk about the spiritual reality, there is the heavenly realms as they are fleshed in, designed, or appear in various forms. And it's some kind of level of reality, even though how could you talk about specific creation of reality when it comes to godliness, but that's the nature of the godly persona. But then there's a level of divinity which is beyond description. And it has all possibilities. This is what you would call the spiritual stem cell level. It can be anything. It's not a liver, it's not a heart, it's not an esophagus, it's a stem cell. It can mutate into virtually anything. It's Bechinas Levin Elyon. So when we talk about a tzaddik living with a very, very high level of divinity, living in an exalted state of consciousness, we usually would refer to a tzaddik who lives in a particular state. So one tzaddik lives in a state of joy. That's his thing. He serves Hashem with joy. One tzaddik serves Hashem with awe. One tzaddik serves Hashem with benevolence. Yaakov Avinu said, I served Hashem in a manner that was transcendent of the specific forms. I didn't have a specific level of consciousness achieved. It's Levin Elyon. I was living in a manner that transcended everything. So it's a certain equanimity. Everything could be holy. Anything could be good. I so to speak, went back to the deepest of subconsciousnesses. And that's the kind of level or consciousness I was living in. In other words, Yaakov's talking about not just doing mitzvahs, but in a very, very lofty kind of reality. A very profound, very deep kind of performance of mitzvahs. This then would be the way we understand the sentence. If with lovin' I lived and I watched the mitzvahs, kitar yag mitzvahs, nimshachim ebchinas levin elyon. Where do the 613 different mitzvahs come from? They ultimately come from one source. It's all Ratzon Hashem. It's all the will of God. And in a certain way, the will of God is equal. Whether God wants this, or God wants that, or God wants the other. The will is will. So that's the meaning of whiteness. It's the level of divinity that transcends the specifics of the mitzvahs, the specifics of godly expression. And when Yaakov is able to raise himself to such a profound level of spiritual consciousness called Levin Elyon, supernal whiteness or colorlessness, Tikein es Atzmai, he was able then to rectify, perfect himself. Sho Bechinas Oilom HaTikun. This, of course, reflects on the world of Tikun, the world of balance, the world in which everything is made right. Why? Kizeis HaTeira Odom. The Pasuk says, this is the Torah, a person. Meaning, Kishem Shebetayra Yeshtam Taryag Mitzvahs Han Mishachim Alevin Elyon, just like the Torah has 613 instructions, which hail from a primary and essential form of divine will and divine consciousness, Kenu Ba'adam Elyon, so it is also, so to speak, in the supernal persona, divine persona, Sheyesh Bayra Machay Varim de Malko, Vishasagidim, that we speak about God metaphorically, and we invoke this idea of 248 limbs, 365 sinews, with the idea is just like you hug a person with their limbs, just like you relate to a person through the limbs, you relate to Hashem through his mitzvahs, through his Torah. So it is also with an actual person, a person who lives in a corporeal reality. Every one of us has 613 abilities. We have 613 different strands of wherewithal and limbs. And our limbs actually all want to do mitzvahs. In fact, the Rambam, when he talks about the positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs, he says the number 248 corresponds to the limbs of a person. And the message is a person says, do mitzvahs with every one of me, every part of me. Every limb should be engaged in a mitzvah. Then he says there are 365 negative mitzvahs. What's that about? He says all days of the year say, do mitzvahs in me. Don't have days off. 365 days, all of time. So it's all of the person, the whole, the total person, the totality of his time. This is what Yaakov is telling Esav in Lavan Garti. What is the deeper meaning? What's this, the mystical text message here that's coming across to Lavan? When we say Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, he's saying, Yaakov Avinu says, I was able to reach a level in which my observance of mitzvahs was in a manner of equanimity. where all mitzvahs were equal. It didn't make a difference, a small mitzvah. It didn't make it as a big mitzvah. Why? Because they looked at every mitzvah as Ratzon Hashem. So if that's Ratzon Hashem, it doesn't matter if it's a big mitzvah, small mitzvah. It's all Ratzon Hashem. It's a pretty lofty level. Most of us tend to not sweat the small stuff, focus on the big stuff, usually erroneously and inappropriately, but that's human nature. And Yaakov said, I transcended that kind of nature. I served Hashem in an absolute fashion. There was no detail that was too small or was unimportant. By serving Hashem in such a manner, by connecting to the highest level of Ratzon HaElyon, of the highest level of God's supernal will, Yaakov said, I was able to rectify, to perfect myself. He says, now that I worked out my issues, I can work out your issues. This would be al derech, along the lines of the Mishnah that says, "Ksheit atzmecha." First, you rebuke yourself. First, criticize yourself. And then you can come along and criticize others. So imagine you had a person who was very frugal, who wasn't giving any tzedakah. He can't go to his friend who's frugal and say, you know, you shouldn't be so frugal. And the friend is like, ha, look at this. The kettle is calling the pot black. You're so frugal yourself. Why don't you stop becoming a little more generous? And when you become more generous, talk to me. And then the person would say, you know what? I've been very frugal. I've been tight. I haven't been generous. I just want you to know, I did open up. I really did work hard at being charitable. You should too. How does that go over? A lot better. Because I did this myself. Oh, you did it? If you did it, I could do it. You showed by example. So you have to always show by example. So Yaakov Avinu is saying to Esav, you come to Esav and say, Esav, I think you should fix yourself up. You know, you should clean your act up. And Esav turned to Yaakov and said, clean your own act up. And you say, what are you comparing Esav's act to Yaakov's act? Yaakov is a sweetie pie. He does everything right. Esav is a monster. So that may be true. But Esav would still say to Yaakov, I mean, you have your issues. I have my issues. So what if my issues are bigger? Issues are issues. You don't deal with your issues, don't expect me to deal with my issues. So it doesn't matter if Yaakov looks better than Esav when in comparison with Esav. Ultimately, Yaakov hasn't fixed himself. He hasn't perfected himself. So when you take a shower yourself, then come to me and tell me about my shower. Yeah, but you haven't taken a shower in 6 months. You stink to the high heavens. Nobody can go near you. I just didn't take a shower in a day. Yeah, maybe, but take a shower first anyway. So Yaakov comes and says, I have elevated myself. I know I had issues. I know I wasn't serving Hashem with perfect equanimity, whatever the issues or problems of tzaddikim. Yaakov says, during this time, I raised myself to the highest level of spiritual perfection. The greatest, most profound level of loyalty to Hashem. So if I did this, now you can do something too. That's the basic text message. That's the subliminal message. I fixed, I perfected, I elevated myself. Now, let's see, let me help you. I worked on my personality quirks. Let's work on your personality quirks. Vihine. A yadeshin yankiv mevaris Esav. Why would Yaakov be so keen on fixing Esav? Like, I mean, Yaakov could say, you know, Esav, have a nice life. If you want to be crazy, if you want to be rebellious, that's your problem. I can't be bothered. So, of course, Yaakov should care about Esav because it's his brother, and even though it's his brother, wants to kill him, and you should always try to help another kid. But the question is there any kind of symbiosis here? For a crass way to put it, what's in it for Yaakov? So there is something in it for Yaakov, too. It actually is part of Yaakov's Avedis Hashem, if you will. Because Al Yedei Sheyankiv Mevaris Esav, by Yaakov Avinu working on Esav, elevating Esav, for having Esav work his kinks out, what happens is Mekabel Gam Me'iris HaMakifin De'Esav. Esav also possesses some very intense energy, very powerful, profound spiritual ability, and Yaakov would benefit from that. Because if Esav would be on the same page, if Esav would get on the program, Yaakov would be able to get so to speak the sparks of that energy too. And then through Yaakov, the whole world would correct. The Hine Yadua, we know from the disciplines of mystical Torah that Esav Sharshay Be'ilam Atayu, that Esav is rooted in the world which is called holy chaos, the world of divine chaos, which chaos is very intense energy, very powerful energy. And Yaakov Ubekinis Ilam Atikun, Yaakov is the world of rhyme and reason. Yaakov is the world in which everything makes sense, the justified world. Esav is in the unjustified. I don't mean in like doing the wrong thing. I mean like when you have like the computer has to justify your paragraphs for you. Press a button and all of a sudden now everything is perfectly lined up. So Esav is in a jagged world and Yaakov is in a justified world. Everything is right and Yaakov, everything is balanced. So the world of balance in comparison with the world of chaos, what's the big difference? The big difference is that the world of chaos is much more intense. That's why it's not balanced. The world of balance is balanced because it's less intense to begin with. It was more balanceable. It didn't lend itself to balance, to chaos. The chaos was too unbridled. It was unharnessable. Zeo gam kein masha Esav wa bechayr. This is why Esav was technically the one who breaks the womb. He's the one who comes out first. Shehu loy rak kedima bizman. Not only Esav was a few minutes older than Yaakov. Shenaylet kaidem elagam kedima b'maylo. When we say Esav comes first, Esav has a superiority over Yaakov. Esav has an energy which Yaakov can only wish for. He could wistfully hope to get, but Esav has it. Shesharshay, his spiritual source is me'olam hatoyu. His spiritual source is from the world of chaos and unbridled energy, which is b'mayla la'olam hatikon. It is a more virtuous. There's a greater possibility, greater wherewithal, greater potential in that energy versus the world that's justified, balanced, and has rhyme and reason. Va'adarabah, on the contrary, mitzad zesha olam hatoyu, because the world of toyu, of holy chaos and unbridled energy, is l'mayla ma'olam hatikon, because that's greater than olam hatikon yankev, l'chein gam bizman hoya esav habacher. That's why it also evolves in time as well. In other words, time, at its root source, is the concept of sequence. The past always has to come before the present. The present will always come before the future. Otherwise, you're not talking about time. Otherwise, you're talking to crazy stuff. If the past will be and the future was, something is wrong. You don't make any sense. Now, once upon a time, there was no time. There's no time, there was no sequence. There was no past, present, and future. Time was not moving in the manner it does today. But Hashem created that continuum. So there is a concept of time, quite literally, as we know it, that the past has evolved. Past was, the present is, the future will be. That's kind of sequential reality. And then there's like a code, a sequential code, or what we talk about, what comes first from a perspective of virtue. It's like there are things that are urgent, so the urgent things get done first. Why? Why do they get done first in time? Because they are more urgent. Because they are more, they need, or things of importance. If you have a pecking order of importance, the things that are more important will get done first in time. Why would they be done first? Because they are more important. So the idea of sequence and something which precedes sequentially is not only a time definition, but it actually transcends time. It is found also on the level of virtue, on the level of what we call whether it has something, how important or how urgent or how valuable and so on and so forth. The reason sha'ilum atoyu hu l'maylam ha'ilum ha'tikun, the reason that toyu is loftier and towers above the world of tikun, hupnei sha'ilum atoyu haya oiris merubim v'kelim mu'atim. The traditional expression is a lot of energy, very little vessel. Very little convention or envelope to harness it. In other words, haynu sheba'erech ha'oiris makifin detoyu. The truth is, it's not just that toyu doesn't have words. You say a person is very, very angry, or very happy, very emotional. So emotional, I have no words. People say, I'm verklempt. Or a person's in pain. So what are they doing? They're screaming. It's like a raw cry. Why don't they use their words? It could be two reasons. First of all, the person doesn't have words. This person is not articulate. So they have no articulate, so they yell and scream because they have nothing else to do. But it's also possible, in fact probable, that the reason that they're yelling and screaming and just making noises is not only because they lack language, but it's because what they're feeling right now, what they're experiencing right now, transcends language, because language is limiting. Language is a very specific. Every expression of language is specific. It can only address a certain range of reality, but the feelings I have right now may transcend that range of reality. So it's not just that there is lack of language. Person doesn't know how to speak. You're in a place, you go, why are you saying that? Because you don't know how to speak. So you try to say, try to make guttural sounds and communicate. That would be two people who are in the same place, heart space. One speaks the language, one doesn't. But then there's a different scenario where one person is very, very intense. Whatever, he's experiencing very intense emotion. So the fact that he has no words, it's true he has no words now, but it's no words, not just because there is no words, but because the energy is too strong, too overpowering. He can't put it into words. So no matter what kind of words you give him a thesaurus, he still won't express himself. Why? Because words don't do it for me. Whatever level of words, you can give him as many words as you want. Ultimately, what he's experiencing now is beyond words. So it can't be harnessed, it can't be expressed. And that's a metaphor for Elam HaTayu. All the Kalim in the world will not suffice for Elam HaTayu. Zeu gam ke mashi Yankev edila Esav and Lavan Garti. This is what Yankev says to Lavan, Lavan, to Esav, Lavan and Lavan Garti. Hainu. Shala achere shagamar habiru de Elam HaTikun. After he finished the world of Tikkun, the world of rhyme and reason. The world of rhyme and reason also had things which were inappropriate. It also had things which weren't right. They had to be kind of prettied up and made right too. So once he made Elam HaTikun right, now Halach Levar Esav. He said, I took Elam HaTikun, I maximized my potential. Elam HaTikun was a world of rhyme and reason, a world that's justified, but not everything was being utilized fully, because if there's a lack of harmony or balance, it's not being used fully. Yaakov said, I created full balance, full synergy. I utilized every ounce of wherewithal. And now that I utilized every ounce of wherewithal, now I am ready to fix you. Now I'm ready to take on the next level. And that is the idea of Esav, or the Eidus Makifin, the atmospheric realities, the atmospheric energies of Tohu. Were they supposed to rule together? Ideally, Yaakov and Esav work in tandem, sure. Yaakov channels Esav. That would be amazing. But Esav doesn't want to be channeled. That's the problem. Hine al pi hanal, based on this whole mystical rumination, the masha yankiv holach levaris harad Esav. The fact that Yaakov went to elevate, to change the evil that lurked in Esav, la'acharis shebiris atzmai, after he was able to perfect and raise himself, which is the idea of olam hatikon. Olam hatikon is the world of perfection. So in that world, once Yaakov has perfected the reality that in everything an Olam HaTikun is as it should be, once he has utilized and harnessed the possibilities of Olam HaTikun, and when now he's ready to move on to Esav, represents this wild, untamed energy, which is called Olam HaTayu, medubar be'esav k'mashu l'mata. The thing is, we're talking about Esav, not the theoretical Esav in the spiritual stratosphere. We're talking about Esav. Esav the murderer. Esav the seducer. Esav the wicked. So, Tzarech Loimer, we have to say, the gam mashikosav im love and garti, eina pirish bazeh shegarim b'chinas levin elyon. Since we're talking about Esav on a literal level, we have to talk about love on a literal level too. We cannot talking about love on some mystical spiritual level and Esav on a literal level. Esav is literal, love has got to be literal too. So if that in that case, not only with the spiritual representation of levin elyon, but love and kameishu b'shar, not only love and kameishu b'shar, not the origin of love on, but like I'm kipshute, literally. Shabir b'chinas lovin shalomata. Yaakov made a dent. Lovin is not the same lovin. The lovin that Yaakov came to 20 years later is not the same lovin who left, even though Yaakov won't be there anymore. He's a different lovin. He's a changed man. Yishleimer dezeu gamatam. This is the reason also. Shalach reshim avayar b'ir atayda. Shom shakech levar aseisav b'chinas levin elyin. That this is the reason in Eir HaTorah, after he talks about the power, the ability, the spiritual wherewithal to be able to change the life of Esav, and that's because he tapped into this higher level of consciousness called Levin Elyon. Mamshich the kol zeh lefi apirush the lavan ubchinas Levin Elyon. This is all when we speak about lavan on some kind of mystical and spiritual metaphorical way. Dalachein asis shaper shal acharishim lavan garti. That after he lived with lavan garti, meaning he raised himself to a new level of consciousness, then attacking b'chinas Esav, Yaakov is fully justified. Yaakov is fully balanced. Everything made right within Yaakov's reality. Azay dafke b'levaras Esav. That's when he comes to try to change Esav. Avlofi ha'pirush de lavan ugam klipas nega. According to the pirush, that lavan is not levin elyon, not some spiritual superior, a holy thing, but lavan is lavan. The Yankov bearded son and Susan show love, and Yankov had to work with love and try to extract the sparks from there too. So in that case, then it's not understood. Why does love precede the work with Esav? In other words, simply stated, if we speak about love on a spiritual level, Yaakov says, because I raised myself to the spiritual level, because I was talking about Levin and Elyon, now I have the strength to deal with you. But if we understand love and literally, that Yaakov working with love and was extracting sparks, and Yaakov working with love and was perfecting the realities to be, through working through them, through toiling and making these efforts within the realm of spiritual toil, which in the house of Lavan, and in doing so, changing Lavan. So how does changing Lavan prepare Esav for being changed? If Lavan represents Levin Elyon, Yaakov says, I got this new program I downloaded, amazing program. It can help you now too. Fine. But if Lavan is just Lavan, I worked on one thing, so you worked on one project, it's now another project. One doesn't necessarily give you the strength to go come back to the other. So the Rebbe's answer, the Rebbe says, if you look in Eretz Yisrael, you see, Shagam b'inyan habirurim yeshna seder, that when it comes to fixing situations, there's a pecking order. Halchem l'mayla l'mata. You go, so to speak, what's called seder v'hadraga. There's an order to this. There's a rhyme and reason. Mitchilin is barav and ataka mele makarv yeser. First, you deal with the easier problems. You don't choose the biggest issues. You just choose the simpler issues. And after you go through the simpler issues, then you go to ilam arachik yeser. Then you kind of expand that. So you work from inside out. First, you deal with the immediate orbit, deal with the challenges from within, and then you see how you can expand the scrimmage of that. First comes the idea of Tzoyin Lavan, which Tzoyin Lavan, the sheep of Lavan, represents Nefesh HaLikis. Nefesh HaLikis, what are sheep known as? What kind of animals? Meek animals, passive animals. Sometimes that meekness and passivity is not a good thing. Sometimes it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. What has to happen? You have to, you know, get up and have the courage to do what's right. But that doesn't come easily. So in order for Yaakov to overcome his issues, he has to stop being a sheep and learn how to become a bull. But that's working on the Nefesh HaLikis. Isn't it an actual problem? The sheep isn't violent. The sheep isn't aggressive. The sheep's problem is a lack of, let's say, initiative, and a lack of doing something with full courage. So after you work on that, well, this is the idea of Tayag Mitzvahs, doing everything right. So Acharkach Bir Reisev, then comes dealing with the Nefesh HaBamis. Then comes dealing with the animal soul that's not just meek, that doesn't just lack courage, but has lots of courage for the wrong things.
Is the evil inclination that we're now talking about dealing
with?
It's like
a person who says, first I'm going to work out the good qualities that I have within the realm of the acceptable. There's things which aren't as good as they should be, so I'm going to kind of work on strengthening those areas. And once I strengthen those areas, then I can deal with the really negative stuff. This is like the idea of holistic healing, that first you have to strengthen the body. When you strengthen the body will be able to fight off the infection. This is in contrast with what we call conventional healing today, in which we simply go right away to give the body the strength to fight off the infection by feeding it small amounts of the infection. Even that in some ways is like that. It's like getting the body to do push-ups. Here's a little bit of the infection. A little bit of the infection the body can fight off. But what happens when the body starts to fight it off because it's got just a little dose of it? Then the body gets stronger. So it's, I could do this. If I can knock that guy down, then I can have the strength to be able to heal the big infection. So you actually feed, it's like counterintuitive, you feed the person an infection.
It's kind of like what Tanya talks about, level of Benoni, and then level of Tzadi.
I don't know about level of Benoni and Tzadi, but within the level of what a person has to accomplish within the realm of being a Benoni, that there's something called Bir Nefesh HaLikis and Bir Nefesh HaBamis. I have to do what's right, more right, and then eventually I can work on the darker side of things. It's not necessarily the best idea right away to start off working with the biggest challenge. Work with the small challenges, build up the stamina, build up the muscle, build up the spiritual strength, and then eventually be able to overtake that. The bigger problem with all this is that love on the ground is not such a sweet guy. It doesn't represent an Nefesh HaLikis. But that's the second half of the Maimer that we're out of time for. Sorry.